the show, the Mavs went on a 28-0 run against the Dubs. Yeah. We're previewing a good old-fashioned Western showdown with the top seed potentially on the line. Hollywood's Michael B. Jordan is stopping by. And why is Boban quoting Justin Bieber? Yeah, we'll explain. Keep it locked. This is The Jump. Welcome to The Jump. I'm Rachel Nichols alongside NBA champion. Yeah, he's right here in the studio with me. Eight-time All-Star Vince Carter is coming to us from the A. We'll have reaction from the Celtics. Shocking loss to a team that, frankly, isn't trying to win that often, OKC, as well coming up, though. But first, I do want to start out west. One of the more intriguing things about the NBA's regular season is there's enough time for the paths of certain teams to twist and turn and run into each other in ways no one could have expected. Certainly when the league tipped off back in December, we had no way of knowing that Clippers-Suns games would be particularly remarkable. And yet here we are in April with the two clubs having all kinds of grudges against each other and a game tonight in Phoenix that has both seeding and bragging rights on the line. Kawhi Leonard unlikely to play in this one. He is still nursing a sore foot. But Paul George appears ready to go, and he's the one with the personal stake. It was during a game back in January that Devin Booker called PG, quote, soft, among some other things I can't say on TV. Both players got technicals, but it didn't end there. The next time the teams met, PG again said he heard a lot of, quote, chirping from the Suns, part of a larger wave of disrespect that he said he's been facing since his uneven performance in the bubble last summer. Apparently, that disrespect has been so pervasive that even DeMarcus Cousins, who only just joined the team 3 weeks ago, has already seen enough to say that the rest of the league needs to, quote, stop the PG slander. And he is right. Paul has been on just an absolute fire tear for much of the past month, leading the Clips to win 11 of their past 13. Still, both Boogie and Paul have been around long enough to know the only real way to rewrite the book on the Clippers is for the team to perform better in the postseason, which brings us back to the whole seeding thing. I know it's very fashionable to say that where you end up in the playoff bracket just doesn't matter, and for some teams that's true. Hey, Michael Jordan's Bulls didn't always have the top seed, but they did have Michael Jordan. So, yeah, they were fine. Then again, sometimes seeding matters a lot. You know that mid-90s Knicks-Pacers series when Reggie scored 8 points in 9 seconds? What people don't always remember is that New York was the 3 seed that year, which meant the Knicks ran into Indiana way earlier in the bracket than they wanted to, and it cost them with an early playoff exit. There's potential for that same sort of scenario in the West this season. The Jazz have had a hold of the top seed for 85 straight days.
Wow.
But that grip is now being challenged by both the Suns, who are just a game back on Utah, and the Clippers, who are just a game back on Phoenix. Whichever of these three teams end up with the West top 2 seeds will have an advantage. Their first-round playoff matchups will be against 7 and 8 seeds, who will be a bit worn down from having to go through the play-in tournament. But whichever team finishes in that 3 spot, that team would have to face the 6th seed, which right now would be the Dallas Mavericks. That same Dallas Mavericks team that torched Steph Curry and the Warriors last night as Luka Doncic scored 39 points in 28 minutes. Now, I am not saying Dallas. I know. I'm not saying Dallas would be the favorite in any series they played, but I also wouldn't want to see Luka in the first round, especially if I was a Clippers team carrying the extra weight of atoning for last year. Winning in Phoenix tonight would go a long way toward helping LA move up. Although, of course, that would mean the Suns moving down, and they too are very motivated to avoid that. Chris Paul has managed to wrestle Father Time to the ground these past 2 seasons, but he's turning 36 next week, and even, yes, the great aforementioned Michael Jordan did not win a title past the age of 35. All in all, the scene is set for a fantastic game tonight. It's the result of some twists and turns we never saw coming, but that just makes the end of the journey even more fun. And Vince, I want to go to you first. These two teams, which team needs the top seed in the West more, Suns or Clippers?
Clippers, hands down, it's the Clippers. For all of the things you just said, and I believe with everything that happened to them last year, all of the expectations, not playing well in the bubble, PG, you know, having a rough bubble and playoffs in general, they need this. You laid it out perfectly. You know, they want to get where the road is set to get to the Western Conference Finals. And we all want to see Clippers. We all want to see the Lakers and want to see that matchup, LeBron versus Kawhi, so on and so forth. So I think for them, this is a big game for the Clippers, regardless of who's in the lineup. Yes, you want Kawhi out there, but you know, you look for the Clippers tonight to exploit as many opportunities as possible, because this is a big win if they can pull it off.
It's Vince, you know I love you, and I've loved you for a long time. But
you're from Phoenix, so I know where you're going.
You're wrong. You're wrong. This is why you're wrong. The Clippers don't need more pressure. They don't need the number one seed on them. That's pressure. We're talking about them avoiding playing this person or avoiding playing this person, but we want the number one seed because we want everyone to look at us. That is not what they want. What they want to do is they want to be playing the best version of basketball. And I'm not big. Look, you want a favorable matchup in the first round, right? Because you want to tee yourself up. But after that, if your goal is to win a championship, you need to be looking at every team in the league like, what's up? Let's go. Like, because that's what it is. There is no more avoiding. Is there a favorable matchup? There's no favorable matchups in the conference finals. There's no favorable matchups in the NBA finals. So, yes, you might want that in the first round. But even ultimately, if you get a monster in the first round and your goal is to win a championship, if you want to win a championship, it doesn't matter if you got to go Lakers, Suns, Milwaukee RJ. Bucks, and then Philly. That's not even possible.
I believe Vince is trying to get your attention, sir.
Whew. Listen, how do you get a favorable matchup?
I don't at this point.
You gotta win.
You gotta
put yourself in position. That's all I'm saying. They want to win. You want to go into the playoffs playing your best basketball, like you're saying. So when that happens, that's gonna put them where they need to be. Maybe it's not the top seed, but you want to play. My point was saying, I think it's important to them because of everything that has happened. And they want to go in feeling good and being in the best possible position where they can control what they can control. I think getting Rondo there is going to help them in the playoffs, no matter where they are. You're correct on that. But what I'm saying is, why not go in there getting the best possible seed?
The reason why is because if you're trying to eliminate pressure, and I know that that's not what you're thinking, but also another thing that I don't want to hear. Paul George, I don't want to hear any more of this Paul George slander. I don't care, right? Because Paul George, you have the ability to be one of the great basketball players of this era. You have it all. And you go back and look at any great basketball player, they have been forced and hit with tons of criticism. My man Vince Carter, Tracy McGrady, Charles Barkley, Michael Jordan, LeBron, Kobe, all of these guys have faced an absurd amount of criticism. So I don't want to hear, when you have all of the ability to be one of the great players of this generation, that you're not happy with the criticism. That comes with it.
Well, he hasn't said that, by the way. Boogie Cousins said that. I have been super impressed with Paul this season. He has, first of all, taken all comers. He has been very open and honest about the fact, hey, I screwed up here. I could have said this better here. That's all I ever want from someone, right, is to acknowledge what the situation is in front of them, try to be better, and he has been better.
Amazing.
The Paul George revenge tour this year has been incredible. A little bit of a blip when he had the toe injury, but other than that, he's been fantastic. I know he is looking forward to this game tonight. I don't think you can engineer your whole path to the finals. I do think the first round matters. It gets you kind of into rhythm, gets you into that playoff routine, and if you're playing a team that was in the play-in tournament, you're probably in a better position to get off to that hot start. Maybe the best spot for the Lakers in the West is number two, right? Because right now the Lakers are sitting in that 4-5 slot. So if the Clippers come out at number two, and then they wouldn't face that battle of L.A. if possibly the Lakers advance too until the comp. But again, then you get into the this and the that. And we saw Denver a couple years ago try to get cute. Were you on that team, Richard? Try to get cute with a path to the conference finals and ended up getting bounced? So.
No. When I was on the team, they lost. They just lost all the time. They lost.
Okay.
They lost. They should have played me.
Mm-hmm. There we go. Let's move on then, friends. Let's move on.
I knew that was coming.
Luka. Yep, you saw a little bit of highlights from it before. It made Richard gasp. A little different than anticipated. The Mavs exploded on a 28-0 run in the middle of this game. It was over the course of nearly 10 minutes. It was in the first half, led to a 30-point rout. Warriors 10th in the West. Post-game, well, the guys tried to explain.
I'm not concerned about a 9-minute scoring drought. I'm concerned about defense. I'm concerned about a level of intensity and preparation and competitiveness. That's what was missing.
I obviously want to play better. I obviously want to be in a situation where you're competitive and rising to the level of competition, and we didn't do it.
Tonight was kind of like a playoff game for Dallas. You know, they lost last night. They know we were right on their heels. they came out like it was a playoff game, and we came out like it was an exhibition game, and very disappointing.
Steve Kerr is disappointed. Over that run, the Warriors missed 18 shots in a row. That's the longest scoring drought since 2009. The Mavericks scoring 28 straight came despite shooting only 44% from the field. Richard, what was your takeaway from that historic run last night?
Well, look, the Mavericks kind of did like a Steph Curry on the Warriors, where they just got hot and it wasn't anything that you can do. Look, ultimately, this Warriors team, we understand, unless Steph Curry is playing like an MVP every single night, that they're going to struggle. This is not the same Warriors team. And Vince knows this as well as I do. There's five or six games that no matter what you do, you're not going to win that game because the other team is just hot, the turnovers, the calls.
Right.
And so this was just one of those nights for the Warriors. They've had a few of them before, but I don't think that this is that big of a deal.
Yeah, but at the same time, 28-0 run. At some point, you know, you call a timeout just to throw the rhythm. I mean, you go throw your arms up to get a free throw to stop the run or something. You know, and one thing I will say about this team is, you know, that's why I feel Dallas is a very scary team. Up and down, you talk about them sometimes, you don't talk about them. Obviously, Luka is doing what he's been doing and scoring, and sometimes he's just unguardable. You know, he can score at all levels. You know, and then when he has other guys hitting threes like they were doing, and then their defense stepping up, what can you do? So I think the Mavericks are a scary team, and they were making a statement. Steve Kerr said it, is that they know that we're on their heels, so they're punching them, say, hey, we're get back. We see you creeping up in that rear view, get on back. And you know what this is? This is the lashing that the Warriors have been given to teams for the last couple of years. This is payback. This is the opportunity. You know the term, kick them while they're down. That's what people are doing. So like you said, if Steph's not playing 45 points, you know, getting 45, 50 points or shooting like he's doing, they're going to struggle.
Well, this goes back to the point about the Mavericks. You say how dangerous Luka is. Clippers Suns tonight. Someone wants to get out of that third seed because if they can get up to two, they don't have to face what would right now be Luka Doncic in the first round. And as we saw last night, the guy can play basketball. Just saying. Might want to tell Sacramento that. I'm not going to bring that up again. All right, coming up, a shocking loss to OKC brought more questions than answers in Boston. Hear what Jaylen Brown had to say about his team's urgency or lack thereof. At the start of this month, the Oklahoma City Thunder.
Vince knows well.
I know.
Vince knows well.
I know too, but I'm trying to be nice on television. The Oklahoma City Thunder. Let's talk about them. They were within three games of the West play-in tournament, but then they decided, maybe that's a little too close. So Al Horford, you sit down for a bit. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, you've got plantar fasciitis. You don't need to play. The quest for the possible top draft pick was on. 14 straight losses later, the Thunder had the fifth worst record in the league. They entered Tuesday's game against the Celtics, starting this lineup, people. Lu Dort, the elder statesman at 22 years old. And despite all of that effort, the Thunder then went on to win in Boston despite 39 points from Jaylen Brown. Now, the Celtics were without Jason Tatum and Kemba Walker, who were injured, but that defeat sparked this reaction post-game from Brown. Take a look.
Yeah, man, we got to play with more of a sense of urgency. Tonight, I feel like we didn't have a sense of urgency that we needed across the board. And a team that has some young, talented players came ready to play. And we got beat. You know, we got to come and have some pride and play with some urgency. I didn't think tonight was the night we played with urgency, especially after a tough a game against Charlotte 2 days ago where we got kicked.
The Celtics are now even with the Heat for sixth in the East. The Boston does own the tiebreaker for now with two games versus Miami left, though. Richard, I can imagine when you are trying to win and then you play a team that, let's just be honest, is trying very hard not to win and you're the one who lose. I mean, what do you think about what Jaylen had to say?
Well, he was right. Like, I called the game last night, and when you watch this team, even against Charlotte, the Boston Celtics, they were a step slow. They were just a step slow. And I don't want to hear about who they didn't have, right? Yes, they were missing Kemba Walker. Yes, they were missing Jason Tatum. You know who they did have on the court? They had Marcus Smart. They had Jaylen Brown, who was an all-star. They had Tristan Thompson. Peyton Pritchard had a career high, right? So they had guys that were contributing, Evan Fournier. So they might have had five of the top six players on the court. Ultimately, they just didn't have a sense of urgency. They were down 10, and they just never got it going. And this Celtics team, this is not the same talented Celtics team that you've seen in the last 3 or 4 years. And you just have to take away that and just understand that this year, it's just, I don't think it's going to end pretty for them.
I tell you, Jaylen Brown is right. They didn't bring it. And I was concerned with them early in the year. And I really felt they were going to be a top four team just with all the talent that they had on the team, and then they're sitting in eighth spot. I'm like, oh no. Then you give them a pass because you said they're missing their heartbeat. Who's their heartbeat? Marcus Smart. Marcus Smart comes back. All of a sudden, they take off and they're in sixth place. But then it's just been a rocky road for them. And I agree with Richard when he says it doesn't matter who you have because you have enough talent, scoring wise and defensively, out there still without Tatum and without Kemba Walker. But right now, it's just, I don't know, the Celtics just seem like they're stuck in mud right now. And you know, it's they're going to mess around and put themselves in the play-in tournament and not play well and put themselves out of the playoffs.
Yeah, it's certainly not the level of expectation that, forget Celtics fans, the Celtics themselves have of themselves. They've been in the Eastern Conference Finals 3 of the last 4 years, kind of sneaky, really influence on the East. And yet right now it looks like they can't kind of get that consistency they need so much. All right, guys, coming up, I'm excited about this. Actor, producer, NBA celebrity game veteran Michael B. Jordan's going to pop in. He's going to talk about his new project. The one thing he would change in the NBA.
What? I just asked if that was a mock turtleneck.
All right, so recently I sat down with Hollywood superstar, my former NBA celebrity game co-coach, Michael B. Jordan. A lot of fun. Take a look. Welcome in. And it's funny, with all the conversations that you and I have had, I did not know until recently that you played ball in high school. You were on the basketball team, but it was the Newark Arts High School. And I got to ask you, is that team any good, or just paint your way or act your way through the game?
Is that a slight jab? I don't know. I feel like it started out as a compliment and then it just turned on me really fast. No,
I believe that's a direct jab, actually.
It's a direct jab. Okay. Well, to be fair, my jersey is retired. So whether I acted my way to that or not, I drop buckets. You know, you can definitely ask around, you know. But yeah, I play ball a lot. Growing up, and we weren't known for our athletics, but at the same time, I definitely held my own across the Essex County. So
wait, in Newark, were you a Nets fan?
In Newark, I was a Knicks fan.
Oh, okay.
I was a Knicks fan, but I think over the years, it's been real tough, and I think as you grow up and you get a chance to really get to know, these NBA players, you know, personally and stuff like that, you know, you become fans of your friends, you know. So like, yeah, you know, Kyrie and, you know, Bron and guys of that nature. So I'm rooting for I don't know who I'm rooting for right now. I don't know who I'm rooting for. I don't know. I'm neutral.
We'll let you leave that open. You do have serious NBA chops, though, because you and I were co-coaches for the NBA celebrity game.
What was that? Down in New Orleans, the All-Star game in New Orleans a few years ago, I actually played and I got snubbed by Kevin Hart as MVP. It was tough. I mean, at that point, he was just buying MVP awards. I don't understand how you guys let him get away with that, actually.
I know, we're working on it.
It was robbery. The ratings couldn't have been worth that. Not, you can't keep giving him these titles.
You were too dangerous. That's why you came to coach with me. And now that I have seen you master coaching, if you were NBA commissioner for the day, is there anything you would want to change about the NBA just as a hoop fan?
1,000%. I would make referees do post-game interviews.
Oh, I like that.
I think that would hold accountability across the board. I need some names and faces to these and some answers to these calls and these technical files and ejections. So I think that would seriously rectify so much.
All right, I'm going to get right on that request.
Please, please.
Now, you do have, as you know, of course, the most NBA name in all of Hollywood. I did not realize until I was reading up for this interview, though, you were named after your dad, Michael A. Jordan. Mm-hmm. But you were teased for your name as a kid, which I thought everyone would have thought it was the coolest thing that you were named Michael Jordan. But it sounds like maybe not.
Yeah, no, I mean, I definitely got teased a lot, but gave me a healthy chip, you know, because I was playing basketball. So it pushed me to be successful at whatever I was going to do and be great at whatever I was going to do, so people would know my name instead of, you know, thinking of, you know, the basketball player. So that was like a nice little healthy chip that I had growing up.
Well, your plan is working. World famous now.
Right.
In fact, you're in a new movie you've been promoting, Tom Clancy's Without Remorse.
Yes,
and
ma'am.
I was watching a trailer, and you're just going in there and you're beating up a whole gang of guys all by yourself. And I'm thinking, like, when you're a little kid and you're watching action movies, you mean, yeah, I would go in there, I would beat up all the bad guys. You get to actually do it. What does it feel like on set when that actually is happening for you?
It's so much fun, you know, because, like, to your point, as a kid, you watch these movies and you play these video games and you used to imagine, like, one day, like, oh, I want to do that. So the fact that I get to, you know, get up in the morning and that's my work, you know, it's a lot of fun. You spend so much time with the stunt guys. They're actually really, really cool guys, you know? It's one of those things where you wind up beating up your friends in these scenes, and it looks great. So it's a lot of fun, and shout out to the entire stunt crew for this movie, because they're badasses.
Well, you know, we like when you do sports movies. I know you've got another Creed movie on deck. Mm-hmm. I did read that in the very first Creed movie, you were knocked out for real when you were doing one of the scenes on camera. That is dedication.
Yeah, Sly basically told me that this is like my initiation into the world of Rocky. So I had to take a real one. And I mean, the shot came out great. I mean, I was sore for a couple of days afterwards, but you know, other than that, it was a great experience. But I'm really looking forward to stepping behind the camera and directing this movie.
Well, I know every sports fan is looking forward to that. Now, comic book movie fans have been doing a campaign to get you involved in the new Warner Brothers reboot of Superman. And I just want to know, can you actually fly? Like, how good would you be in that role?
Can I fly? I wish I could. No,
you actually got knocked out for Creed. So,
so I can fly. That makes total sense. No. It's, I'm flattered that people, you know, have me in these conversations for these, you know, these beloved characters that mean so much to people. And right now it's just a compliment, you know. I haven't had any conversations about it, but it's interesting to see, you know, that people, you know, are speculating that I could potentially play a character like that.
All right, so to take it back to Newark Arts High School, are we gonna see you playing the lead in a basketball movie anytime?
Probably not. You know what I'm saying? I'm 34 now. You know what I'm saying? These knees ain't quite the same. You know what I mean? I'm stretching and icing. You know what I mean? I really, I'm gonna leave it to these young guys. You know, if anything, I might maybe produce something. But other than that, I think there's so many young talented guys out there that could definitely do a lot better job than I could at a basketball film or a television show. So I'll just leave it at that.
I love it. Thank you so much, Michael. It is always great to have you on this show. Come back through when you're not shooting sometime. We'll get you on the hoop here.
I would love it. I would love it. Thank
Excellent.
You. Good talking with you, Mama.
Thanks always to Michael B. Jordan. Here's what The Jump recommends on ESPN Plus right now. Jackie McMullen delving inside CP3's journey through the NBA and how he lifted others to success wherever he went. Coming up, take note, because we're going to explore the one opportunity he didn't get to play after a vetoed trade in 2011. You know that Lakers trade. We got some inside info.
Here we go.
Bringing that back. We now welcome in the host of the Low Post podcast, the one and only, our friend Zach Lowe. Always so nice to see you. And we're going to talk.
Zach's so excited.
Zach does not seem excited. And his little jump background behind him isn't on. And I feel sadness, but maybe that'll change.
It's broken. So. It's broken.
We too are broken, Zach, without you, but there you go. Let's talk a little bit about an old story with some new information. Lakers owner Jeannie Buss joining our friend Steven Jackson, Matt Barnes on All the Smoke. If you haven't seen that, please check it out. Jeannie explained why the 2011 trade for CP3 infamously fell through after the league essentially vetoed the deal. Here is the backstory you haven't heard yet from Jeannie.
I can tell you exactly what happened, and it's hard to understand if you don't know, like, the background of how the league operates. So if you remember, we were in a lockout, mm-hmm. right? So when there's a lockout, there's a moratorium on everything. You can't make trades, you can't do anything, except the general manager of the team felt that he had the authority to make a trade.
Of New Orleans at the time?
Right.
Okay.
So teams felt like, how is that possible? We didn't get a chance to make a trade for Chris Paul. And so they all attacked the league and said this wasn't fair. David Stern didn't reject the trade as commissioner. He rejected the trade as governor of the New Orleans team.
Vince, what do you remember about what guys were saying in the league about this whole thing at the time? And what do you think would have happened if CP3 had joined forces with Kobe?
Well, thank goodness I have some things written down because I don't want to forget. But I'm trying to remember 2011. I was somewhere around the NBA, maybe Dallas. I could be wrong. But I do know that. But I said, like, if he goes there, first of all, I was like, wow, how are they able to do that? And that would be amazing, and that would be a cheat code with Kobe and CP3 together. I remember saying that. And if that were to happen, Kobe would have his sixth ring.
Yep.
The Lakers will add another ring to their dynasty. CP3 will definitely have a ring. And, oh, yeah, CP3 would probably still be playing for the Los Angeles Lakers right now if that were to have happened.
Some of those things might be true. Some of them might not be. I think the Lakers' grand plan was CP, Kobe, and basically make the same Dwight Howard trade they ended up making later. Don't make the Steve Nash trade that just didn't work out and cost them a lot of draft picks. So you have CP, Kobe, Dwight is a big three. But let me ask you, is it a guarantee that they beat that Thunder team that made the finals, or the Spurs team that rose up and made back-to-back finals, or the Heat team with LeBron? I think it's a guarantee they're right in the fight with all those teams. And yeah, if things break right, they have a ring, and a ring would change Chris Paul's legacy. The entire dialogue around him would be different and less sort of ring, toxic the way it is. But I don't think it's like a lock that they're winning a ring over those other teams. Those were awesome, awesome teams.
No, I agree. And it's so tough. You know, the Lakers, they've been through so much. They just can't catch a break. It's so good to be able to, like, revisit this and just see, like, could you imagine if the Lakers were able to get good players like Dwight Howard right after this, and, you know, Steve Nash could go, maybe LeBron James could go there. If only we could revisit stories about what could have been in Lakerland. Maybe they wouldn't have 17
those
championships.
Were all different.
They would have 18. It's like, what are we talking about here?
Different situation.
First of all, Chris Paul, the course of his life significantly changed.
Oh, Chris is struggling?
There is that.
He's on the number one seed right now. Like, Chris is struggling, too?
See with the moment. They're struggling. I'm glad you remember the top of the show. Zach, look, Jeannie was talking a lot about the role the league played. You know, we all know that the Hornets were in between ownership groups. The league had stepped in as kind of a conservator. And Jeannie made the point that we have heard for a long time. David Stern didn't veto this as commissioner. He vetoed it as governor. But the part that she was talking about that I found so interesting was other teams not having a chance to get in on the bidding. And that was a lot of the base of the frustration. That almost seems to me like a reason to have the trade go through. In a normal ownership group, you don't give everyone fair ups. I was just talking in the break to Richard. It's not like Kevin McHale gave every team in the NBA the chance to get Kevin Garnett. He called his old buddy Danny Ainge, and they made the deal. So the fact that the league owned the team and the other governors were upset as conservators of the New Orleans Hornets that they didn't get for their own teams fair ups at Chris Paul, that's way outside what would normally happen. I don't understand, Zach, why that was given as the reason that then the NBA stepped in and said no.
Well, first of all, people make fun of Kevin McHale for not canvassing the league if he didn't do that. And they should make fun of him because you absolutely should canvass the entire league. If you know you're trading a star player. And other teams have done this in other examples. You call everyone, say, best and final. This is it right now. Give me everything. And so, yeah, you absolutely should do that. This trade was like, this is why 3 and 4 team trades get so complicated, because there are too many voices, too many competing agendas. And this was a totally anomalous situation, a lockout and the league effectively acting as the steward of the team. It was an anomalous situation. It'll hopefully never happen again. It was just very, very messy.
Richard?
I'll play along. I'll play along with this hypothetical game that we're playing. And this is why I'll say this. I understand the cool thing about hearing Jeannie Buss tell this story is because a lot of people knew this. And because this was also off the heels of LeBron James leaving, you know, Cleveland and then going to Miami. So this whole like kind of talk of players leaving small markets and going to big markets. And there were owners that were upset about this, especially a bunch of the small market teams. So that's where a lot of the frustration, it wasn't that anti-Lakers, it wasn't that everybody didn't have a thing. It's like, wait a second, now the league is helping to facilitate small market teams losing players to big.
Let's not pretend that there are all kinds of trades that happen in this league where the ownership or the GM says, I'm not trading him to the Western Conference. Or that, again, to get back to the Kevin Garnett trade. The Lakers wanted Kevin Garnett, by the way. And Minnesota ownership said, I'm not trading him in the Western Conference. So not everybody gets fair ups all the time. I just found that to be a very weird reason for a trade that would have definitely affected the NBA as we know it. All right, up next, Vince is going to break down the key matchup to watch tonight in that huge Clippers-Suns game.
Have the worst idea.
As we mentioned at the top of the show, tonight's game between the Clippers and Suns on ESPN, huge, huge implications for two teams jostling near the top of the West. LA won the first two against Phoenix already this season. Kawhi Leonard, doubtful tonight. Vince, break it down for us. What is your key matchup to watch?
Watching some film. Key matchup is PG, Paul George, exploiting opportunities with DeAndre Ayton in pick and roll or isolation situations. So let's go to the film here. We'll see PG in the corner off a dribble handoff. He sees now he possibly has his matchup that he wants, but here's how he gets it. Ibaka, right there. He's gonna dive hard to the front of the rim, which makes Bridges have to switch. Now there, he's going to the left with a dribble. You see nice low, Chris Paul, everybody boxes and elbows, but you see on the weak side, Jay Crowder, single side. You're taught not to leave the single side or the strong side shooter right here. And he's guarding Kawhi Leonard. This is how he's able to attack the lead foot and get the layup. Here, double high screen. Here we're going to have Ayton. Here we're going to see the ball movement. Here we're going to see pick and roll, weak side action. Now they want Ayton to have to help on the dribble. Now here there's a high screen, but he's late. And here's what you want, a guard going downhill against a big. I don't care how athletic they are. Paul George going downhill against Ayton, has to move his feet. Now you're able to dictate and do whatever you want, cross back, whatever you see, the bump to the fadeaway. Now, here's a good defensive play for Ayton here, double high screen. They know light side switches in the league today, they're gonna switch. So here you're gonna see a light side switch right here. Johnson gets it. Now we're taught, bigs are taught, when the guard goes under the screen, you're going to set a rescreen.
Yeah, bring it back.
Correct. There's your rescreen goes up. But Ayton does a better job of getting up on the screen, touching his player, not allowing the crossback, which gives him a fighter's chance and an opportunity to block shot. He got the block shot, and they were able to start their break. So there's two things that, particularly for the Clippers, to exploit. There's some ISO opportunities that they were getting off of ball movement that they could exploit. And then for Ayton or Biggs, but mostly Ayton, he has to get up on the screen. He has to get on the screen and hope, and I say hope, that your backside is going to be there for the tag to take care of your guy. So look for that tonight.
I think the matchup that – oh, sorry, Zach, go ahead.
Let the man speak. He's got a broken
shoulder. I was going to say, man, I just wish both – I wish both these teams were healthy coming into this game. I'll give you two things. Who does Paul George cover? Because I think the Suns, if these teams face off in the playoffs, will see a lot of Paul George and Kawhi Leonard on their two-star guards, Devin Booker and Chris Paul. And number two, do the Clippers go super small with Marcus Morris at center, a look that Ty Lue likes, and say, DeAndre Ayton, you got to guard somebody in space. And can DeAndre Ayton beat those guys, beat those lineups up in the post on the other end?
Does nobody else remember Rondo giving Chris Paul a two-piece and a biscuit? Does nobody remember that? That's the matchup that I want to see. Chris Paul is having like an MVP quality season. Then you have Rondo, who's been one of the best additions to this team and is one of the reasons now that people believe that the Clippers can win a championship because they have that gritty toughness. So at the end of the day, you know what we're going to be watching? A lot of Chris Paul versus Rondo. Them guarding each other. And obviously they love each other. They're like best friends. That's what I'm looking forward to seeing.
And there goes Richard trying to start something again.
I didn't start anything.
I don't know how you spent years.
That is must-see TV, though.
Yeah,
that's must-see TV.
Might be something that came out of somebody's mouth and led to a punch and then another punch. That was just two seasons ago.
And so many teams. And there we go. Yeah. Thank you, Michael B. Jordan. Thank you, Zach Lowe. Thank you, Vince Carter. And also, I guess, Richard. We'll see you tomorrow.